This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
ESP.
ESP. On the phone.
On the phone.
From his home.
I know you are me.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack, do you have Battle working on the Tiny Dancer one for Elliot?
Yeah, we're going to cook up.
Okay, all right. Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcast, joining us right now on Legal Tampering Day in the NFL and here on the WIP Afternoon Show. A lot of numbers flying around out there, Elliot.
Well, that's why you need a GM in the making to come on. I can explain this all to you, break it all down for you.
You are so full of it.
Yeah. Our last caller was like, nobody understands the salary cap except for maybe Elliot.
And
I
heard. All right. Yeah, I heard. I appreciate the support, guys.
Yeah, forget that. So I guess, Elliot, any surprises for you up front? The first one I want to ask you about is Isaiah Rodgers, because I think you're reasonably confident that he'd be back and a good replacement for Slay on the other side, but him leaving for 2 years, $14 million, I assume you see them signing a starting level cornerback out there and not just going with Ringo as a starter, right?
Yeah, I don't think Keeley will be handed the job. I think Keeley will have a chance to win the job in training camp. But with Isaiah Rodgers, I'm definitely surprised. I think his market was way bigger than people, and like me included, but also the Eagles, than they expected. He didn't get like a ton of money. $8 million guaranteed isn't a ton, but the Eagles held it at their number, which was not $8 million, and let him walk. So I am surprised Isaiah Rodgers is gone. I did think they would get that done. But if you look at it, like, look at their actions more than like what they say. Kelee Ringo played 11% of the snaps last year. Like, they had chances to put him on the field, and they did not do it. So I don't think they're going to hand him the job, no.
Nope. And the Isaiah Rodgers thing, to your point about him not signing for very much, I think it says a little bit of what they thought of Isaiah Rodgers too, with him going for that much money, they think they can get an Isaiah Rodgers level player for less money than that.
Yeah, I think they were interested in him coming back to compete with Kelee Ringo. And I would imagine with the money, and also, like, you know, if you're Isaiah and you're probably hearing you're not guaranteed a job, you know, I would assume at that point want to look somewhere where you think you have a better chance to be guaranteed a job. And when a team gives you $8 million guaranteed like the Vikings did, you're going to have a really good chance of being out on the field. So I would imagine that was part of it as well.
So then Darius Slay signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is not a name I don't think any of us mentioned or thought of. Did you think it was possible that Slay was going to come back to the Eagles, and are you surprised that he is with the Steelers?
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. Like, earlier in the day, someone that I trust told me he thinks Slay is going to come back, and then almost immediately the Steelers thing happened. So, just to take you behind the scenes of a day of an insider.
Well, but it's not official yet, right?
It's not official yet. I thought it was interesting. The tweet came out afterwards saying it's not official, yeah, and that he hasn't been released, which is an interesting component, right, to that tweet.
Oh, he hasn't been released yet?
He's not technically been released yet. No.
Okay. And does that happen on
Wednesday?
Does that happen on Wednesday? Is that just a paperwork thing?
It can happen at any point.
Okay.
It could have happened already. Even if he's designated a post-June 1st cut, which is what I think their plan is, that doesn't have to wait until June. And obviously, he's a free agent since he's out, or his team is at least, out negotiating with the Steelers. So, I would think with Slay, I don't think they would bring him back. The only thing that's pulling me back is I was told that there's a possibility, but I think he's probably gone. Yeah.
So Milton Williams signs a giant contract, and I don't know that the number had been projected, but he was pretty much considered a top five free agent overall almost everywhere. 4 years, $104 million with the Patriots. Have you seen a number on that guarantee? I haven't seen one anywhere.
No, I haven't seen a number on it. I would guess you're looking over 55, over 60 million, something like that. I think it's going to be a very, very large number. If you look at other defensive tackles his age, I mean, a lot of them now, frankly, have more production than him, but a lot of them do get over 50 million. So I do think it'll be a really high number. And the Eagles were never going to pay him that. I mean, they just weren't going to give out that type of money. And I do think, though, that if we talk about, Isaiah Rodgers and Slay leaving and Milton Williams leaving, I think they have more confidence in Moro Ojomo stepping in and playing well than they do some of the corners on the roster. If you look at Ojomo's numbers last year, he actually had the highest pass rush win rate on the team. So
Get it in there.
Yep. Highest pass rush win rate on the team, higher than anyone else on the defensive line. And I was surprised. I mean, obviously, we all watched the season. He played almost as many pass rush snaps as Milton Williams. That doesn't feel like that was the case watching them. So he played quite a bit, and he was almost as productive in terms of winning blocks as Milton Williams was. So I think you'll see him get an increase in snaps next year.
Well, we had one caller, Chris Middleton, tell us that he had 6 sacks.
Yeah, and then we looked up. It turned out it was 6 tackles.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think 6 sounds a little high.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have 1 sack in his career.
Not one sack.
So, $63 million guaranteed.
For Milton Williams, $63 million. Yeah. So that essentially makes it a 3-year deal, right? I mean,
I would think the fourth year is not guaranteed.
Yeah, so... Wow. So, okay. Here's where we started the show. So, Eagles, we knew they were losing Slay, or at least we thought it was reasonable that he wasn't going to come back. Isaiah Rodgers gone. Milton Williams gone. Josh Sweat, I think, likely gone. Do you have any concern that those are 4 really big contributors on the Eagles? Maybe not Rodgers, but Sweat played more snaps than any other edge on the team. Darius Slay was basically their number one corner, ended up as their second best, but they lose their number one corner. They lose Josh Sweat. They lose Milton Williams. Any concern about replacing that level of talent, especially if they're not willing to spend or don't have the room to spend?
So, to be honest, I'm not overly concerned about the guys that they've lost. Like, I think Moro Ojomo can do most of what Milton Williams did. I'm not a huge Josh Sweat guy, and I am a big Jalix Hunt guy. So, for me personally, at least, like, I think it's a drop-off, but I don't think it's worth spending to keep Josh Sweat there. My biggest concern at this point would be the cornerback spot with Kelee Ringo. I do think now when they play base and there's only 2 corners out there, I do think Cooper will be out there. So, in that way, you could view Cooper as the Slay replacement.
When the hell do we play base?
Well, that's what I was about to say. There'll be a nickel so often that I think they'll probably keep Cooper on the inside. So you do need somebody in that instance to come out on the field. And I've seen Kelee Ringo have great training camp practices, and I love training camp, but like I would not feel confident about him just going out there and being the guy at this point. So I'm not concerned about the defensive line. I do think with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, Moro Ojomo, they'll add someone in the draft. I still think there's a chance they get Azeez Ojulari. He's not signed yet. I know they have interest. So I think their line will be fine. The concern I would have is what are they going to do at corner?
Right. And I guess my final question, Elliot, is you sound like you're sick again, and we have an enormous day for you on Wednesday in which you pull a 12-hour shift over at our big free agency day at McGurk's in Royersford. Are you going to be able to do 12 hours of radio? You don't sound like you're in the condition
for it.
So you
know what's crazy? I've not sounded sick all day. And I agree with you, though. When I started to do this, I did think to myself, I do sound a little sick. I did just eat a turkey sandwich a half hour ago. Maybe I'm feeling a little tired, but no, I mean, I'm good to go. I'm excited.
Well, between you and Lakin.
The Clearwater flu. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I ate a sandwich, turkey sandwich yesterday. It knocked me out. I was surprised. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Now, how are you handling Twitter being down for a majority of the day, including
It was the worst. It was the worst. You want to talk about being fully addicted to something? I couldn't even concentrate. I was updating it a bunch. Blue Sky is terrible, but I mean, go follow me on there. I have almost 6,000 followers.
Who cares?
You know, but it is terrible. And also, really quick before you let me go, I got to say, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is terrible. Yeah, coincidentally, I just watched it a few days ago. The fact that people thought it was so funny when the guy kept going like Bueller, like that was comedy in the 80s. Like everyone was dying laughing. He just kept saying Bueller. Like it was on this past weekend. It was the most boring thing I've seen. I turned it off after like 25.
The only 10 bucks says you were staring at your phone the whole time.
Now it's always
the
phone.
Boring. That's on the movie.
The only funny movie before 1990 was Caddyshack.
Idiots. Yeah. Elliot, you're old enough to where you should appreciate Ferris Bueller. Jack's like a 9-year old.
Well, I did, which is why I put it on, but then I watched it and it was terrible. So I guess I was wrong.
God, you're terrible. I don't endorse anybody listen to your podcast. So
I'm trying to lock down Insider of the Year this week, so wish me luck.
Well, it's not going well early. They better sign Aziz real quick.
You trade Goddard.
Tell me. Yeah. Well, the Goddard thing, I was absolutely early on, by the way. I said it Friday, and now everyone's talking about it on Monday. So.
Well, we'll see if it happens, though. He ends up on the Eagles. That's a bad case for you.
I've learned from the other rankings, it doesn't have to happen to get in there. They just have to report it.
Oh, here we go. It sounds like the Wambulance is
You guys would be the crybabies of the year.
We're 1-2, that's why.
So are you doing, for the Go Birds, are you doing any emergency pods today, or is it just going to be a wrap-up pod everyone can have in the morning when they wake up tomorrow?
Well, I hope to do an emergency pod. I'm sitting here waiting. So,
For the Eagles to do something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, there will be a new one in the morning for sure.
All right.
Did you already ask him about Becton?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't ask him about
Becton. Yeah, Becton. What do you think is going to happen there?
So I do think the market's playing out well for that. If you look at a guard in Tampa signed for not that much money, got $12 million guaranteed over 3 years. Now he's 27 and has played guard a little longer than Becton. So if that's what he got, I think the Becton market's actually playing out really well for the Eagles. So, and then also you figure they lost money they were planning on spending on Isaiah Rodgers. I don't know if they just moved that to a corner right away. But yeah, no, I think Becton's chances after seeing how the market's playing out, and that's in general too. Like Josh Sweat too. I think he's probably not back, but Ed Becton's in.
Here we go.
Josh Sweat, according to Adam Schefter, is signing with the Cardinals on a 4-year deal up to for $41 million guaranteed, $76 million overall.
Dude, that's not that much.
Yeah, just like I was saying, Josh Sweat's probably gone. So,
That's not that much.
That's not that much. Not that good. Yeah, I agree.
What do you mean that's not that much compared to who? Myles Garrett? That's not that much.
Well, it's what? It's 18 a year?
40 guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know.
40 guaranteed over 4 years is basically 10 a year.
Yeah.
In my GM opinion.
If he plays all 4 years, it's not going to be 40 million.
72 million.
Yeah.
Right, but I would guess it's backloaded. I don't know. We'll see when the details come out.
Yeah, just keep saying backloaded like you're a real GM. Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
I can break it down for you if I want.
Well, and you think about it, it's only a 4-year deal.
Yes.
That's not a long deal. He's 27 years old. He can see that full deal.
They better. Can I tell you, they better have a plan for Edge.
Oh, we got a plan. I got a name I want to throw out there, too, at cornerback.
Okay.
Since Jeff Okuda.
Never heard of him.
Former first-round pick.
Yeah, former number three overall.
Number three pick overall.
Okay.
25 years old, Elliot. 26.
So I like that, and he does check the draft pedigree box that they really like, and he's had injuries throughout his career, so you could argue he hasn't hit his potential.
Awesome.
But I do think he would be what Spike would hate, which is someone that's played bad his whole career but has a big name.
Well, it sounds like Becton, though. I mean,
I was going to say, it's not like we've had luck with those guys anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I do think one benefit the Eagles have is when you have a good team and good coaching, like guys that haven't succeeded could come here and play better. So I would like that idea.
And what's the DB coach name that you love?
Christian Parker.
Yeah, Christian Parker.
Yeah, look what he did last year.
No, I'm serious. Yeah, this will be the year I start learning the coaches' names.
I like it. Me too.
All right. Thank you, Elliot.
All I knew was the coordinator's names and Jeff Stoutland.
There he is. Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot will join us. He'll be there show for all the shows on Wednesday.
Clint Hurt.
At McGurk's in Royersford as we celebrate for the Birdstown Hall as we celebrate the official free agency day. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That Josh Sweat, that's not a lot of money.
Nope.
They better have a plan there.
That's a lot to pay when you know you got, you just paid Zach Bond the money he got paid. And they still have to pay other young players next year.
I want to win a Super Bowl this year.
Well, that's not happening.
What's not happening? We're not winning the Super Bowl?
I don't think they're going to. Like, it doesn't feel like they're setting up for that. It feels like a regroup year on defense. See which young players can actually play, and then you go for it after you sign Jalen Carter. Like,
they found out what young players could play last year. What other young players are we talking about?
Well, they got to figure out Jalen Hunt can do it every day. Mm-hmm. Every snap. They got to figure out if Keely Ringo.
No, Nolan Smith.
Well, but we already know Nolan that. Smith is there. Who's the other guy?
When did Nolan Smith start as an every down player, every game?
The last six games.
Oh, six out of 20 games.
Yeah.
And he showed you. No, we got to find out if he can actually do it for a full year. That's why they let Sweat go, because Nolan Smith got to show that he can do it.
Yeah, that's why I think next year is going to be a more of a learning process year than like, they're not going to have a top five defense next year. I think that's asking too much.
But they better.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
They don't need a top five defense.
Why not?
Because the offense I expect to be better.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Because I expect the passing game to be better next year.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we're doing. We're projecting. Well, you guys are projecting it's going to be bad. And we were the same people projecting that this defense, we'd be happy if it was a middle-of-the-pack defense last year.
Well,
And we hadn't seen any of these guys play up to that level of potential. So won't you give Vic Fangio a little bit more credit for being able to coach guys up? Won't you give the Eagles a little bit more credit for having the culture that they have to develop young players? They just showed you that they can do this.
They developed the young player. They let him walk out the door in Milton Williams.
Yes, because they mean they can develop. They know that they have a formula for success. And Ojomo, they must feel that he can come in and do the same role that Milton Williams had last year. I like Milton Williams. Milton Williams benefited because he wasn't an every down player.
I agree.
Now he's going to get paid like he's an every down player.
It just feels like high off their own supply is what it is. Like, we did it once, we could do it again. We did it once, we could do it again. We did it without looking all the times they did it, and they didn't. It wasn't successful. Mm-hmm. When you have good players, what I always hear about the Eagles, when you have good players here, you pay them so they don't leave. I just like. They better have a plan at edge. And they better have a plan to tackle.
Here's what they know about Josh Sweat. If Josh Sweat hadn't taken a pay cut last year, he wouldn't have been here. That's what they know about Josh Sweat.
Sure.
No, and he had a great year. They were ready to walk away from him a year ago.
And he should have been, he could have been Super Bowl MVP last year.
I know Larry Brown was Super Bowl MVP too for the Cowboys, and he stunk when the Raiders paid him.
Well,
you can be an MVP for one game. It doesn't make you a premier player, an elite player.
I agree with you. I think, same thing could go for some other players, but I'm just saying he was their most reliable edge the entire year, Josh Sweat, and now he's gone. So, he's definitely gone now, right? Yes, he's in Arizona.
Would you agree that BG was a better edge before he got injured?
No.
Oh, yeah, he was.
No, BG played well and had big plays. I don't agree that he was better.
I think so. I think Sweat came on in the second half of the year. Like, he played in spurts.
I thought Sweat was good all year. All right, 215.
You also wanted him to get an end at the trade deadline. You felt like they couldn't win without one. You thought Sweat was that good. We would have needed one.
We needed two because BG went down, who you're saying was the best edge on the team.
He was, and what I'm also saying is that they had depth there, and they continued to forge forward as a great defense. They finished number one.
But you are not confident in Jalix Hunt being the starting edge on this team next year.
I am not, as I sit here today.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Does that mean I'm right?
No. No.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't confident in Nolan Smith last year.
Right. Yes, for sure. For sure. Ken and Cinnaminson. But it also doesn't mean the Eagles are right.
Yeah, but it means they have better in-depth knowledge of the players than we do. And he wasn't worth that type of money to the Eagles. If they could have got him here back on a cheaper price, maybe they would. But for that type of money, they weren't willing to do that.
I'm okay with him walking.
Milton Williams, are you kidding me? $26 million?
I'm okay with these guys walking as long as we have a plan to be just as good next year.
We got to let the plan in. We got to let it out.
Well, I got to do a show today. Ken and Simonson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
What's up, Ken?
Spike, do you think that Howie Roseman doesn't have a plan? Like, I'm not sure what you're...
Well, I don't know. He had a plan when he traded Hassan Reddick, right? And the plan was to sign Bryce Huff, right? And how was that plan?
They won the Super Bowl.
But no. You're too smart for that. Their biggest dollar signing in the offseason was Bryce Huff, who was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl. So just because they won the Super Bowl doesn't mean every move they made was the right move. It means they made enough right moves, but it doesn't mean that every move they made was the right move. Bryce Huff was not the right move. And also, there's no way they planned on Brandon Graham playing 50% in the snaps either. So yes, it worked out last year for sure, but it doesn't mean that every move they made was correct.
Well, it's different to say I hope their plan works than saying I hope they have a plan. They clearly have a plan. There's no guarantee it's going to work, but they clearly have a plan.
Well, no. Their plan could be something will happen, but if they it doesn't necessarily mean that their plan is for player X or player Y or player Z, because they don't control those players.
So I don't think you let anybody get to free agency that you're not willing to lose.
Of course,
I don't. You know, so. Look, I mean, Milton Williams, four technique tackle that doesn't play the run. A nice player, but, you know, he's not a three down player. And, you know, the Patriots want to pay him $26 million a year. They want to guarantee him whatever it is they're guaranteeing him, $100 million contract. Let them do that. I mean, what Elliott didn't say was that not only did Moro Ojomo have the highest pass rush win rate percentage on the team, he had the second highest pass rush win rate percentage in the league behind only Chris Jones for interior alignment. So they obviously – now, look, that we know it didn't translate to six sacks last year, which might be the
– it didn't translate to any, Ken. Zero.
The worst alternative fact we've heard in a while.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems to me that they believe that they're fine there and that he can fill in nicely. And, you know, Joshua is – you're talking about a guy who – has had one double-digit sack season in his entire career, and now all of a sudden he's indispensable. Like
I didn't say he was indispensable.
You let him go last year. Like,
I didn't say he's indispensable. I'm just saying they better have somebody as good. And it's the same thing as Milton Williams. And the other thing is, and God bless you and God bless them, but just because they believe something will happen doesn't mean that I have to believe the exact same thing will happen. They also believe that Devin White would be a contributor on defense. They also believe that Bryce Huff would be a contributor on defense. They believed a lot of things that weren't right. I could go through drafts. I could go through coaching hires. Like, just because they won the Super Bowl doesn't mean we have to sit here and say that everything they do is right.
Of course not.
Okay.
And you believed a lot of things that weren't right, too. But
for sure. Yes.
They don't have 4 hours a day to talk about how often you're wrong. So, you know, I mean, that's what you do and that's what they do. So, look, I've talked about this before. Sacks are the numbers that get individual players paid. That's what sacks do. Sacks don't impact the game as much as they impact, you know, the individual player's wallet.
All right. So why did Josh Sweat get paid? Why did you, who you just told me never had double digit sacks? And well, he had 11 1 year.
One double digit.
So then why did Josh Sweat get paid? And why did Milton Williams get paid?
You said yourself he didn't get paid that much. Milton Williams got paid because he's 25 years old, and the Patriots obviously see an upside in him that we'll see if they see that same upside as a three down tackle who doesn't have Jalen Carter next to him. Eating up bodies, like you know, old cliche. You can't pay everybody. You know you're going to lose guys. Now we'll see what the plan is, and we'll see how it plays out. But I know they certainly have a plan. So, you know, they had 38 sacks this year, and they won the Super Bowl. They had 70 sacks 2 years ago, and they couldn't stop the Chiefs on a track that was not suitable for the biggest football game of the year. So, you know, maybe you're better off having a defense that is more focused on the back end, more focused on your back seven, and less dependent on the four guys up front always getting home and recording sacks, which are only going to get them paid anyway.
Well, their back seven just lost their starting corner too.
Well, and he's not gone yet, right?
So right, for sure. Ken, why don't you give us a legendary movie scene?
Well, I know this isn't going to win, but I have to interject this because not enough people, including Jack, I'm sure, have an appreciation for the greatness of Steve McQueen. The opening scene in The Magnificent Seven when him and Yul Brynner drive the hearse and Steve McQueen steals the scene, shaking the shotgun shell, and Yul Brynner hated him because he was stealing his scenes.
Mm.
That's a good one, probably.
Never seen The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, neither have I. Jack?
I know the movie, though.
Don't even have that.
Yeah.
Didn't they remake it?
Did they remake The Magnificent? Sounds like a movie.
With Denzel, I think. I think I've seen the remake.
Oh. Sounds like a movie they must have remade.
Or was it Idris Elba they remade it with?
It wasn't Seven with 7 Pounds with Will Smith?
No, and Seven is a different movie also.
Seven's a different movie.
Seven?
Yeah.
Seven Pounds.
Seven's
and Magnificent
and
Seven.
Seven's the one with the Brad
Pitt.
What's in the box?
Oh, well, there it goes. There's
that's
a
seven.
Scene. And you just gave away a scene.
That is a big answer.
Yeah, that's
that
a huge
a
answer. Yeah.
Everyone will be okay.
They re-released that on IMAX. I got to see it in IMAX about a month ago in the theater. Yeah, I never saw that movie in the theater. Good flick, man.
Yeah, I don't
really
think I saw it in the movie.
Oh,
either.
Man, such a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Such
a good movie. Several times,
So coming up next.
Morgan Freeman, man.
Yes. Coming up next, couple of things. First of all.
As Red from Shawshank Redemption.
Never saw.
Which is disrespectful to Red.
Never saw. Coming up next, couple of things. First of all, we will talk about Josh Allen's enormous extension and its relation to Jalen Hurts. And some.
Oh, somebody else about to get paid.
Well, not yet. And a. Just an unbelievable quote from our friend Daryl Morey. Just an unbelievable quote from this weekend. We will play that for you. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike. And
where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Legal Tampering Day here on the WIP Afternoon Show.
Boy, are there tampering.
A lot of tampering going on. A lot of legal tampering. If it's legal, it's not tampering.
Right.
That's the thing. Just talking.
Just start free agency today.
Today. Yeah. I know they want a run-up so they own the whole week,
right.
But there's got to be a better way than having all the deals done on Monday and then free agency happening on Wednesday. Though, it does give us the potential drama of somebody agreeing to it today and then changing their mind by Wednesday. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Better movie, The Hangover or Ferris Bueller's Day Off? The Hangover at 59%.
Wow.
Ferris Bueller 41%.
Closer than I thought.
Yeah, I thought given the age of most people on Twitter, the hangover would have a much bigger.
I thought it would at least be in the 60s.
There's a lot of respect for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I think.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
And I didn't feel like doing the whole thing with Elliot where he says it's not good at all.
Right.
It's like, get out of here, man.
We just ignore him.
Yeah.
We know it's a great movie.
I don't have time
for
that.
It's like saying The Breakfast Club is not a great movie.
Right, yeah. Like, I get it. It was like 1989
that movie
or whatever.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's not.
Stop. It is. It's nothing happens. They sit in the detention office all day.
Don't tell me
about a stupid deeper meaning.
It's about being in high school.
Yes.
It's not my high school.
Well, you never had Saturday detention.
Come on, man. Two varsity jackets.
I have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. You were... All the words that are popping in my head are words I'm not allowed to say. Blank, you know, Mr. thought he was Mr. full of himself jock guy over here.
School, Would never. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, there was a jock guy there. Anyway, all right.
Saturday school used to be horrible, man.
You get a lot of Saturday
not
detention?
Not a lot of them, but I got enough to remember it. Maybe two or three times.
I'm trying to think the worst. I didn't get in a lot of trouble at school.
Oh, yeah. I was a problem child.
Oh, were you?
No, you and the camera, man.
No, you guys are
causing so much issues.
No, talk a lot.
Oh, you're a talker.
Oh, yeah,
oh really?
Yeah. Surprising.
Yeah, that didn't. Good thing you made a career out of it.
I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I was just really bad. I was good at school until six. I was good in elementary school. And then 6th, 7th grade happened, and I was bad for 6th grade through 11th grade.
Right.
And then the fear of, oh, no, school is over. I got to get into college.
Right.
And
I got to button up.
Yeah, I got to button up. That happened in 11th grade.
Yeah.
So
we get it. Sometimes it comes a little later for others. Some come early.
Yeah. So Josh Allen signed an extension. Wait, I had the numbers.
Yeah, move on.
This weekend.
All right, I just want to make sure.
6-year, $330 million extension, Josh Allen, $250 million guaranteed, the largest guarantee ever given to an NFL player, coming off an MVP season for Josh Allen. Now, I think...
Didn't he just get a deal?
So I think...
Seems like it.
I think his
like
deal...
2 years ago.
I think his deal came 1 year before Jalen's deal.
Yeah.
I don't think they were... So that would mean that Jalen is more... likely, I would assume next offseason is when, and after he proves himself this season, he'll be in line for a big deal like Josh Allen.
He can win another Super Bowl?
Well, he should play well all season, and then if he plays well all season, he can get another deal. As long as he doesn't have to be minimized during the fifth week of the season because he's turning the ball over too much and waste the entire running back's rest of his career, then he can get a big contract.
Well, I tell you what.
Yeah.
I hear you there.
Yeah.
I hear it. That ain't how this going to play out. And if I'm him, probably along with a couple of other quarterbacks who just saw Josh Allen get paid.
Yep.
Not saying that he didn't deserve to get paid.
Sure, he did.
But the fact that he got paid early.
Yes.
That rings alarms for all the other quarterbacks. Like, hold on. He didn't wait. He got his new deal. He just got a new deal a couple years ago. I just won the Super Bowl and was the Super Bowl MVP. We don't have a backup plan. And when the quarterback wins you a championship and he's the MVP, you're almost at his mercy.
Well, the thing about quarterbacks is the Cowboys didn't have a back. Dak got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak didn't win anything.
Yep.
So really, if the team doesn't, if you are, forget about winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you are a...
That just strengthens the players' case.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
If you're a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, then the 49ers, are, I think, are just going to have to pay Brock Purdy because they don't have another plan. You need another plan. When did Burrow get... Did Burrow get his deal... Burrow? 2 years ago?
No, you know the Bengals are stupid. They waited extra year or two.
Okay, to pay Burrow.
Yeah, to pay him.
Which just makes it more expensive anyway.
He's the same draft as Jalen.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They really need new owners out. Not to make this about the Bengals.
New owners?
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Corey from Columbus mentioned it in our open, but there was a picture floating around of Jalen Hurts and Michael Jordan having dinner somewhere.
Oh man, that warmed my heart right there.
How many other people do you think was a group dinner?
Like speed dating?
You couldn't see because the picture
probably was.
The picture was those two in the
middle.
Because they were sitting next to each other, obviously. Unless they're out on a date.
I would imagine it was some sort of
Jordan brand.
Jordan event or what have you. And they're there. Jordan's chopping it up with Jalen. Somebody snaps a photo of it. It's a good look.
It's pretty cool.
It's a good look for Jalen.
Yeah, sitting next to Michael Jordan talking to Michael.
With the goat chopping it up.
What do you think Michael Jordan's one word of advice was to Jalen Hurts?
I don't know.
If I was Michael Jordan.
Don't get married? I don't know.
Yeah, I would be like, players aren't supposed to talk about you until this career's over.
Right.
Like, Michael Jordan wouldn't have liked Scottie Pippen talking about him in the press, you know, saying, you know, I don't get the ball enough. Or he waited till Jordan was gone.
Right.
I can't imagine if Michael Jordan was in Jalen Hurts' position and the A.J. Brown
that
stuff.
That would not happen.
Would not work.
Yeah, that would not happen.
Well, he punched Steve Kerr, so. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And speaking of also Corin Columbus.
Yeah.
He did have the Josh Sweat to the Cardinals.
Well, but there were a lot of people predicting that.
Not my insider.
There were a lot of people predicting that.
Was he first? I don't remember.
First I ever heard of
him. He wasn't first. 215-592-9494. Well,
yeah, I know. only McManus.
You got to. That's not true. Rick and Easton, you're on WIP.
Yeah, you know, guys, you're great. If this talk show was around from 1961, before Dick Vermeil got here, oh my God, you guys would be the bestseller, let me tell you. You know, I love your analogy, Spike, with the shoplifting, and they're stealing this, and they're stealing that. And Ike, I agree with you. I totally believe, I think the nucleus of this team is what's really important. And I do believe that Williams and Sweat did benefit from Carter, Davis, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, mm-hmm. Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean. And with that nucleus, guys, you know there's never been four multiple first-team All-Americans to win back-to-back NCAA titles to stay together on a team. That nucleus, coupled with those shutdown corners, that is one heck of a nucleus that I do believe, Ike, mm-hmm. that Williams and Sweat definitely benefit from. And I think if you pay that kind of money for Williams, not so much Sweat's money, that you're overpaying for them. I think they really benefited from those Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without question. Now, I'm not telling you that they weren't good players also. I'm not telling you they aren't good players. I think what you and I are sort of saying is that the Eagles have more good players still here that are part of a unit that it'll be easier for guys to step in and it still be a good unit. I don't know if Nolan Smith's going to have 8 sacks next year or not. It wouldn't shock me, though, if he had 8 sacks.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we're not shockers.
And to your other point, Spike, we didn't like what.
But real quick before you make that point, Rick.
Yeah.
I could just flip that around and say that the players that you're talking about also benefited from Milton Williams and Josh Sweat.
I hear what you're saying, but I think those four players plus the shutdown corners, which did something to Mahomes that was never done before, I think is a little on the side of the scale that Williams and Sweat may have benefited a little more, maybe a lot more than they did. But I agree with you. It was a total team effort.
Sure. Yep.
But like something else that you mentioned that I want to just mention, in 2017, when Howie did digress a little bit, let's not forget something. Not only do we have this defense coming back, Howie didn't have Hurts, Barkley, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and this defense, this nucleus that he didn't let go in 2017. Mm-hmm. That's why I think this is going to be a really difficult team to beat next year, because they have so much of the nucleus back on both sides of the ball.
All right, Rick. Why don't you give us a legendary movie scene?
I love the horror stuff, but I'm going to go, because I love the scene, the fake orgasm, Meg Ryan, and Harry Met Sally.
Oh, that is a legendary scene. The first
rom-com.
In the deli.
Yeah, I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, really?
Didn't see that. Never saw Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not really a rom-com.
You've Got Mail? You see You've Got Mail?
Nope. But I know all of them. Do I know?
Meg Ryan, goat.
Yeah.
Goat level.
Yeah.
Good movie.
What were you going to say?
No, I said that was the first rom-com.
It wasn't the first rom-com.
Wasn't the first one.
Well, Seltzer told me that When Harry Met Sally was the first rom-com. And Seltzer is my movie. Yeah.
It can't be the first rom-com.
Well, there has to be a first for something.
There's a big one.
That early 90s or late 80s?
I think late 80s.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally, I think late 80s.
So
and then
when
the
Harry
other
Met
one.
Sally was first.
Yes, because that one was with Billy Crystal, and the other two you're talking about are Tom Hanks. Yep.
Ah, you're right. That was Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm. Now that you mentioned it, yeah.
Yep. We will play you just an unbelievable quote, not in a great way, from Daryl Morey after Jack tells you the only place that you're going to get your appliances
John,
from.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
It's not that quote.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
You got a great one. That's a great one, though.
It is a great one. Now, what is unbelievable is National Appliance Warehouse and the experience that you get there. Listen, I know that builders, designers, contractors, you're all working hard, and you need to send your clients to the right spot to get their perfect appliance, and that is National Appliance Warehouse. Take it from me. Get down there today and experience what I've been talking about for the last year. You're going to get the best price for your appliance. That's guaranteed by Price Assure, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. There's also great savings events always going on, and it's in tax-free Delaware. So you're going to get the best price. You're going to get the perfect appliance. Over 100 brands in their 15,000-square-foot showroom from sub-zero to budget. And on top of that, you're going to get a great customer experience. It's what Mark Stomach and his team truly, truly value is you walk in, you feel like you're a part of their family. And on top of that, they do it all. They do installation, delivery, and a whole lot more. So get down to National Appliance Warehouse in tax-free Delaware, Wilmington, Middletown. Visit nationalappliancewarehouse.com. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
All right, as promised. So Daryl Morey was at the Sloan Analytics Conference this past weekend. And Daryl was
Dorkfest.
Dorkfest. But he is one of the dorks who originated this thing and is where, you know, Daryl, one of the first analytics guys in basketball, still going on up there at MIT. And he was on a few panels all weekend, and I actually got a text message from somebody who was there when this quote happened that I should go listen to it. So he was doing a panel with Pablo Torre, another gentleman, a guy that works in healthcare or whatever, who happens to be a big Sixers fan. And here is the quote from Daryl.
We were up 3-2. Obviously, you know, we then lost a close game at home, which was very frustrating. And then we had a very bad loss in game 7. And, you know, it's a little bit similar to the LeBron-Michael Jordan argument. Objectively, people should feel better about that than the next season. We had a very entertaining Knicks series, like almost famously entertaining. I think it was voted best series that year. And for me, it was just stressful. But for everyone else, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was very stressful. And we lost in 6 games, you know, to a Knicks team that was not as good as the Celtics team we lost to the year before. And I was very down after the loss. And I was like, man, people are going to be so angry. And they were angry. Obviously, everyone wants us to win. But they were less angry.
Yes.
Than the year before, and anger is all that drives Sixers fans, as far as I can tell.
All right. So, first of all, anger isn't all that drives Sixers fans. Sixers fans are angry because this is probably the worst season in the last 20 years when you talk about expectations versus what happened. And I know it was an off-the-cuff joke, but like, it's not time for that joke as everyone is sitting through all of this. Every fan who spent time, every ticket buyer who bought money, like, they're not. You could just look at the Eagles parade and tell that Philadelphia fans are not driven by anger. Mm-hmm. They get angry when things don't go the way that they're supposed to. They get angry when they get lied to. They get angry when they feel deceived. They get angry when players are not playing up to their abilities. So anger does not drive Sixers fans. In fact, I would say that Sixers fans, especially the core of the process people, have given more leeway to the Sixers over the last 10 years than probably any franchise you could imagine.
I would agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
They haven't, and we've told Daryl this on the podcast. Think about this. The Sixers have not, in this era, have not beaten a good team in the playoffs in any series.
Yep.
They've never beaten a good team in the playoffs. Never. Not one time.
Yep.
We are at the point where if they had just beaten a good team, we would have celebrated this year like they had won something. So let's put that one to the side. Mm-hmm. For him, he just doesn't understand how we think about sports. For him to not understand why the Celtics series would make a Sixers fan more angry than the Knicks series is like, it blows my mind. For a person who I think is
not even a comparison, honestly.
One, they choked. They choked and they gave up.
Yeah.
And they had a team that, if up 3-2 on the Celtics, could have gone to the finals that year. They had it right in their crosshairs.
Yeah, who were they able to play? Who did Boston beat that year?
Is that the Heat?
I think it was the
Heat.
It was the Heat. Yep. And by the way, at that point, Jimmy Butler would have been, he was out of gas by, they got to the finals, I know, but no, did they get to the finals?
Yeah.
No, the Celtics got to the finals. No, the Heat got to the finals.
No, the Heat did, yep.
Right. So it's obvious why we would be angrier at the Celtics series. And the Knicks series, everybody went into it knowing that Embiid was on one leg.
Yeah.
And I think, though we were disappointed, at least they didn't die like dogs in that one, right?
Yeah, I think with that series last year, you had more people upset at Tobias in game. Was that game six?
Game six had 0 points.
Yeah, zero points. You had more people upset about that. Embiid had come back from surgery and an injury, and he was still dealing with Bell palsy, right? Like he had that he was dealing with.
I think he averaged 33-11-5 in that series. Like, it was probably his best series ever.
Yeah, last year, to me, it doesn't even, they're not even the same. Yeah, one is you're up 3-2 with a chance at home to clinch. You're leading, and it was the last 5 minutes. The worst thing about that game six against Boston is that their star player played like crap. For three quarters. Jason Tatum didn't do anything for three quarters.
Yep. We basically like dared him to end up beating us.
And he came alive in that fourth quarter, and that's how they got us, and we went cold. But yeah, that was, and like you said, game seven was just a complete give up.
PJ Tucker was the best player in game seven.
Yeah.
They just gave up. And if you think that team, now I was in favor of them not paying Harden, but if you think that team was so good, like, why
would you get rid of Harden?
Why would you give rid of Harden? Now, I'm okay with getting rid of Harden in retrospect, but it's like, this is the, we've argued with him about this before, in that he says, well, you think the only thing that matters is a championship, so it's championship or nothing, but we're smarter than that, and we're human, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are degrees to which you can succeed or fail, and they were different degrees of failure, and the Celtics series was a much bigger degree of failure, and he sometimes, when people complain about analytics guys, just seeing numbers, he is actually the one that thinks like that.
Yeah.
Like, he is the exception. I think most people who deal with numbers don't think just strictly by numbers. Mm-hmm. But that is, if he's got a problem, it is that. Like, his lack of awareness about why people feel the way that they do. And to mistake people's anger for being motivated by anger is just, like, a misunderstanding of the human condition.
Yeah, and not understanding his fan base is what it really is all about. Because, A, why aren't you just as frustrated?
Right.
So, in other words, we would know that because you would empathize with how this fan base feels. Whether you feel like this player, that player, whatever, the fact that we've gone through the whole process era, see, what it really shows is that he's not in tune or in touch with the fan base and understanding why they are the way they are. It almost seems to me as if he's taking somewhat of a stereotype that's out there about us as fans and running with that versus all this free time he has where we don't see him, put it that way.
I don't know what
work he's doing.
Right.
But the time that we don't see him all season, how much time have you spent trying to understand the psyche of the Philadelphia fan base and why they are the way that they are? Like, how much have you really dove into this Sixers organization over the last 10, 15 years?
Before you got here.
Yeah, before you got here.
And because this is a buildup. And, you know, I think sometimes, every time we do a trip, every time we do an event for the podcast, he shows up to say hi to people. Mm-hmm. So I think he maybe wants to, he just doesn't. There's a back part of the quote there where he says that's not on that he says, like, well, this year we had this percentage of winning a title, and this year we only had this percentage of winning a title.
Yeah.
And it's just,
that's not,
it's just not how we experience sports.
Yeah.
It's just a different way than we experience sports.
No, I totally agree. And it almost sounds as if he's done a case study.
Right.
On the fan base. And he's like, I just don't get these people.
Well, I also think he over-indexes on the internet. too. Where if he looks on the internet, of course, everybody's mad all the time. But that's how people are on the internet too. So I just, the anger thing, it actually made me mad.
And
the
irony. And see, you almost have to be around here a while to actually get it. Because the Eagles used to be that way. Well, they were, you know, when Angelo was here and doing his thing, that's sort of what the Eagles were being accused of. Let me put it that way. That they didn't care about the fans. All they cared about was the money, this and that and the other. And that was sort of the perception about the Eagles under Coach Reed being here. And especially in my early years of retirement, that was still out there being driven by this station at that time. Now, the Eagles used to take offense to that because they felt like they were a well-ran organization, which they were. And they were trying to win, which they were, but there was also this thing about not being in touch with the fan base.
Yeah, no empathy.
Yeah, the empathy wasn't there. It was more or less, well, I know we haven't won a Super Bowl, but you should be happy that we've won five division titles. We've gone to conference championship
Could be
games.
Much worse.
Right. It was more, it felt like that's what the outlook was or how they wanted the fans to view them versus saying, well, this team has yet to win a Super Bowl. I mean, this city has yet to win a Super Bowl. They want a championship. It's all they want. They love this team. At some point, that light did come on. It did switch for the Eagles. And I think it happened with the Chip Kelly thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's when the transformation happened.
Well, and to give credit, you don't hear this name a lot, but I think Don Smolenski, as the president of the organization, has done a good job of changing the tone of the messaging from the organization as well.
Yep.
All right. We will continue to talk about...
And now everybody loves Jeffrey Lurie.
Right.
Yeah.
Could have said that 20 years ago.
Until he buys the Celtics. He's not going to buy the Celtics. All right. We will continue with Legal Tampering Day, 215-592-9494. You're a little bit worried. A little bit worried about the defense losing so many players. And we will check in on the Phils in Clearwater next with the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.